uncertain world.
We've got a hostage situation at the Nine Speed Orphanage. All units respond.
In a chaotic time.
There's over 50 unwanted kids in there. Send in our best man.
Justice wears overalls.
This is a detective Mario. Let the hostages go or we'll nuke the building.
You ain't got the balls, old man.
I'm a 100% the balls.
Mario, that's the fifth orphanage you've blown up this week.
Let me guess, I'm off of the force.
Hell no! Instead, I'm gonna make you infiltrate an illegal kart racing gang.
Yippee! I get to drive really fast.
One race on Flower Cup, two-star buy-in, and nobody can beat me.
Toad Baby, you're so bad, you're good.
He's not that good.
Who the hell is that? Is it a cop?
No, it's me, Mario.
You drive like you've done this before.
Every 5 years, it seems.
I guess you could hang out with us, as long as you're not a cop.
Deep undercover and surrounded by temptation.
Wow, my brother just beat you in a race. That's hot. I'm gonna be your regular Saturday night fame.
Yippee!
You have to stop hanging out with that gang, Mario! It's tearing us apart!
Never! I live my life for one mushroom power-up at a time.
Torn between upholding the law and breaking it.
Bowser, I'm screwing your sister, so I think you should have sold me a mod chip.
Are you a cop?
Why does everyone keep asking me that?
Detective Mario will face the challenge of his career.
You forgot to give me more time to collect evidence.
But it's totally obvious these people are the ones we're after.
But they're my friends.
And I'm your boss. You've got one day.
I'm gonna win at the race.
Eat this, Mario.
Oh, no. I've shrunken.
Damn it, Mario. We bought you that cart, and you lost it racing for slips.
Just to buy me another one. Like when I lost my board after chasing those bank-robbing surfers.
We've already spent more on your cars than these thieves have actually stolen. That's it. You're off the force. Forever.
No.
Next week's touching new episode.
I've raced on every Nintendo system since the 90s, but now I want to hang up on the keys for good.
You can't give up on racing, Mario.
I am not.
Because I won't give up on you.
Where all secrets will be revealed.
Before I leave tread marks on your face, you should know that I killed your brother.
You a bastard.
Smoke him. Police files Mario Squad. Tokyo Drift.
I'm sorry I tried to arrest you. You're free to go.
Seriously? Won't you lose your job?
I don't lose it anyway.
Coming this summer.
Hello and welcome back to the... God, I always say that.
Yeah, maybe some people have never been here before, so you can't really welcome them back.
Well, okay. Hello and welcome to the BenHeck.com podcast. I'm your host, Ben Heckendorn.
And I'm Jason Jones.
And in today's podcast, we are once again not going to talk about video games, except for in the intro. Our topics today, well, actually, it's just one topic. This is something Jones has been wanting to do for a while. What is it, Jones?
It's conspiracy theories.
Yep.
I love conspiracy theories. It's a good time, so...
And we have three main conspiracy theories here. We have the moon landing, which was about America landing on the moon, or did they? The JFK assassination, kind of associated with the moon landing in some aspects.
Yeah.
Was he assassinated because we didn't land on the moon? Who knows?
Yeah. The 60s were a hell of a time for conspiracies, I guess. So.
Mm-hmm. And the third conspiracy theory, I don't know if I'd call it a conspiracy,
yeah,
but...
more of a myth, I guess.
It involves gaming, though. It's the Madden curse. With Wisconsin, or Mississippi's very own Brett Favre, on the cover next year, or this year. Who knows what'll happen.
Yeah, he'll probably, like, fall out of a tree stand while hunting and break his leg or something.
Doesn't he, like, have some land near Richmond Center?
I don't know if he does.
Like
I know, like
Hub City.
I know, like Matt Kenseth does, the NASCAR driver.
Hmm.
But I suppose it wouldn't surprise me if he did. He's got enough money; he can probably own land wherever he pleases. So.
Oh yeah, Brett Favre.
Yeah. Well, both of them, I guess. But. But yeah.
So those
Madden
are our
first.
Main conspiracies, and anything else we come upon along the way. Okay, so let's see. Do we gaming news usually first? Oh no, what games have we been playing?
Yeah.
Did these ever change?
I've actually played some different ones this week. I played I played Assassin's Creed this last week, and that kind of turned into my Call of Duty 4, like how Call of Duty 4 was for you originally, because when I first played Assassin's Creed, the whole, like, sci-fi angle to it just kind of threw me off and all that, and I just was like, ugh, whatever. But then once I started playing it, I wound up really liking it, and I actually beat it last night, and it's actually a pretty cool game, and it definitely has a big kind of cliffhanger at the end that definitely leads you to the assumption that there will be a sequel, and which I guess isn't surprising since it sold very well for a new property. I think it sold over 1 million units, but yeah, it's a fun game. It like the gameplay.
Wait a minute! Wait a minute! I thought there were no new properties on next-gen consoles. I thought all the innovation was on the Wii, you know, with Mario Kart.
Yeah, and Smash Brothers 87, and...
Well, come on, yeah. Let's be realistic. This is only the fourth Mario Kart game. It's not that bad.
But I had like Mario Party,
I had to get
that dig
in there.
Yeah, sorry I shouldn't have let the cat out of the bag. Sorry, Ubisoft, you probably didn't want people to know you made a new property, but, yeah, it's kind of neat, like, the fight scenes and stuff, like, the way the gameplay mechanics work, it's very cinematic, like, the gameplay, like, how it looks and feels when you're playing it. It's really kind of fun to watch, actually, while you're playing it, and,
yeah, it's very fluid.
Yeah, it's very impressive, and it's a very great-looking game, too, and, I mean, probably about the only knock I've got on it is that it does get a bit repetitive. Like, you go to these different sections of the cities, and every time you go to one, you can scale these high points, and you can listen in on a conversation to get clues, or you go and beat a guy up, or you pickpocket somebody. It's like everything, it's like, or every time you go to one of these venues, it's like the same thing each time. But you don't have to do all of the things every time unless you're, like, you know, a completionist, so. But I would highly recommend that game to anybody looking for something a little bit different. It was kind of fun playing a game set in, you know, like 12th century Jerusalem and.
Yeah, that's all a that, new timeline for every game.
Yeah, so. Pretty cool game. And then I finished off Call of Duty 4 today also, and it was okay. It had some good moments in it, but I wasn't overly impressed, and I didn't get into the multiplayer, which I know was the big selling point for that game, but I don't know, I did. I felt like I was playing Call of Duty 2 just in a modern setting, which...
You would agree that the modern setting doesn't really lend anything to it?
No. I mean, it just...
Guns are guns.
It's like they didn't do anything new with the gameplay. It's like there's no cover mechanics, there's no squad control, there's no co-op in the campaign. It's like, you know, ugh. So, not impressed.
Yeah, I mean, the online must be really, really, really popular, because, I mean, it was the top-selling game of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was on, what,
three
systems,
yeah,
including the PC of three platforms, so...
Well, I was disappointed by the single player, which I blew through it in like 5 hours. It was, but you know, I'm Captain.
You're Captain Wasad, yes. So,
but the online, once I started getting into it, I really, really like the online. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I probably would have given it a bit more of a chance, but I'd already had it from Gamefly for like a month, and today I was just like, you know what? I just need to finish this game off so I can get something new in the mail.
Yeah, to keep those games for a month, that's like buying half of the game.
Yeah.
Well, sort of.
Well, you get two at a time, so a little better that way. But yeah, usually a month, and I'm like, okay, I need to get rid of this. Otherwise, it's like I should have just bought it. So.
Yeah, definitely. Anything else?
Those are pretty much all I've played. So Assassin's Creed took up a good chunk of my gameplay.
Yeah,
time.
Maybe I'll play that this summer after I've beaten Grand Theft Auto.
Yes. Which I heard is that's some game that's coming out tomorrow,
yeah,
I guess.
Clearly it's I have to do my games we've been playing. Call of Duty Online, and yeah, I think last week there are probably times when I played that, like, not every night, but like an hour before I go to bed, I play that game.
Yeah.
quite often.
What about your one big match you had? Didn't you say you like, killed like 99?
Yep, one shy one of 100 kills, which is my record. My score was like 1,016. And that was on Wetwork, too. It's a map that takes place on that ship, you know, like from stage one.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I didn't even really know that map, and I just kicked everyone's butt. It was awesome. But yeah, I don't know. Once you get better guns, and probably after you play the online for about 8 hours, it really starts to get to be a lot of fun. I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, once you get a lot of the perks and things like that.
Right, probably. I'll just sit there and I'll be hooping and hollering. I'm like, yeah, yeah, die, motherfuckers! And like throwing grenades and knifing people. And I really get into it, so I mean, that should be a good indication. And then I've been playing Guitar Hero and Rock Band, testing something, so
yes.
That should be on the site next week, whatever that is. But yeah, this Grand Theft Auto game, I guess it's about this guy who steals cars.
Really?
Yes.
And runs over, like, old ladies or something?
Yeah, I guess.
In his free time.
Well, you ever notice in those games they always make the pedestrians obnoxious?
Yeah.
So that way, you know, you feel better about it.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like Grand Theft Auto. I don't know how to say it exactly, but it seems like its infamy is kind of overblown anymore, I would say. I mean, you know, there's violence in it and a lot of different stuff, but it, in a lot of ways, it's a mirror of real life, actually. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. And people get all blown out at proportion
well,
just because
of
the
video
name,
games
you know.
Are very violent with sexual content and language these days, yeah. Too, so what's the big deal anymore?
Yeah, I think if they would bring out Grand Theft Auto 4 and just call it, like, you know, Car Guy or something like
Look
that,
at the top two
it
games
probably wouldn't be
last year,
anywhere
both
near.
M-rated.
Yeah. But I mean, it probably wouldn't be anywhere near as
infamous. Car Guy?
Yeah, you know?
Is that like Broken Spaceship?
Yes.
Car Guy. Stolen car.
Yeah, there
car
you go.
Stealer.
Car thief. But then it wouldn't have all the connotations that come with, you know, the name Grand Theft Auto.
I just hope they fix the helicopter controls, because I was really good at flying the helicopter in Vice City, but then they changed the controls for San Andreas.
Yeah, the interesting, because I was reading about it a bit, and they said that they altered a lot of stuff with, like, the mechanics, like, for the weapon mechanics and stuff are, like, way different now. Like, there's actually a cover system in it, kind of like Gears of War, and, you know, it's not like spray and pray and stuff like that when you just go to shoot at people, and so, could be kind of cool. And the multiplayer seems like a pretty cool thing with it too, from what I've been reading. Like, there's this free mode in it, I guess, where you could have like up to 16 people in it, and you can just like run around the city, do whatever the hell you want. You could have like 5 people go up, you know, you could be like, okay, 5 of us are going to go up on this building, all the rest of you guys have to try to take it from us.
Oh,
or
that
whatever
sounds like fun.
And you can just, you know, make up whatever the hell you want
to
do.
Well, I used to, just after I beat Vice City back when that came out.
Yes!
Seriously, I think that was probably 2003. I mean, you know that I don't buy a lot of video games, but
yeah.
Pretty much the only game I played that whole year after it came out was Vice City. I would just play the game and drive around stirring shit up, and it was fun.
Yeah, Vice City was awesome. I loved that game.
I mean, But also, I'm just saying, like, just that pick up and do whatever the hell you want in multiplayer, even if there's no specific goal, I mean, I think it could potentially just be a frickin' blast.
Yeah, that'd be pretty huge, because people are going to come up with all sorts of crazy shit.
It'd be
shit
like
to
Second
do,
Life
you know?
With guns.
Yeah, people will come up with all sorts of crazy stuff, so it'll be, you know, kind of like with, you know, Halo 3 and the Forge editor, you know, people will come up with all sorts of funky maps and stuff, and, you know, it'll be the same thing. You give people freedom, and they'll come up with all sorts of interesting stuff that the game designers would have never even thought to put in there, so.
Yep, yep.
Should be fun.
And the online mode is basically the same city. It's not like.
Yep.
It's just, you're basically in the city.
Yeah.
Or cities, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like Crackdown, except with way more players and game modes, I think. Because, like, Crackdown, you could have a couple people running around in the city and you could be on completely opposite sides of the city, but you were in the same session, so.
Well, I think I think we were talking about this before we started the podcast, but I mean, already the reviews it's been getting, I think Grand Theft Auto will probably prove to people why there's a need for a next-gen console.
Yeah.
And not the Wii. Yeah, I just called the Wii a non-next-gen console because guess what? It is. I was thinking about that on my bike ride yesterday. So like, no, to hear my podcast, you might think this about me, but I actually don't think about how much I hate Nintendo these days at every given moment. But I was yesterday when I was riding my bike, you know, before it snowed today, which it's doing right now. But I thought, you know, the Nintendo was a good value. The Super Nintendo was like $200, same cost as the Genesis, basically. It was much better. The GameCube was only $200, and it was as good as an Xbox, cost $100 more. Nintendo used to give you cutting edge stuff, and never got past the $200 price limit. Then N64 was really advanced, and now here they've gone past their $200 price limit to give you something that's inferior. It's like they've gone the opposite direction.
Yeah.
I mean, the Super Nintendo was superior. The Nintendo 64 was superior. The GameCube was actually very good for what it was.
Yeah, it was pretty
all
good
at $200 price points. Now they've got a system that's like 5 years behind the times, and it costs more than the little price ceiling. Yeah.
Wasn't the N64 $250 when it came out?
I don't think it was.
I could have swore it was.
I think their thing was $200 all along.
Okay, I could have swore it was $250, but
didn't we have this argument? Oh, we had this argument about the Dreamcast.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the 64 was $250, but I guess I don't recall for certain.
So anyway, I've been saying for months that Grand Theft Auto will be the real bellwether event with the next gen systems because
I mean there's already been games that have proven, you know, the power
like
of
Dead
the
Rising.
Next gen systems, and like BioShock and Oblivion and whatever, but
Grand
Theft
interview.
Auto is like the big game.
I think
that's gonna
I've
come
read this interview
out.
Once that said the only two next gen games are Wii Sports and Dead Rising. And I'd agree with half of that. I mean, you had the U-Force on the original Nintendo. Was that a 2008 next-gen system?
I guess it must have been.
Oh, Nintendo.
Yeah.
Oh, another thing I was talking about. I remember they sold tons of copies of Halo day one.
Yeah.
But you could still just waltz into Best Buy and grab one, and I'm hoping the same thing will happen tomorrow with Grand Theft Auto. You're
going to
sell
a
ton of copies, print a ton of copies.
Yeah.
Other companies understand this logic. Why doesn't Nintendo? Because they sell demand, as Dave put it. So once again, Nintendo, we don't like them.
You used to be cool, but not anymore.
I do have a DS, and yeah.
And it collects dust.
I will take this moment to say, I know we need to get on to our main topic here, so... So Grand Theft Auto is basically our gaming news section because that's the big news this week. For all of you expecting your Xbox in every home checks from the government this week, this of course applies to American citizens. Yes, my patriotic statement is to buy American products.
There you go.
And if it has to be a game console, buy an American console, the Xbox.
Yeah. Even though it is built in another country, but. They all
Some
are.
Some of the money will come back to America.
Yeah, they're all built in another country, but at least the company is American. So
or
yes.
Buy $600 worth of fine Budweiser or Miller beer products.
There you go.
Because the dollar keeps going down because all we export is money.
Yes.
So keep it here, then it's worth more. The end.
So I have fun with that.
Okay, with my patriotic statement out of the way, let's move on to our main topics.
Yes. Which are fairly American in and of themselves.
Okay, so we're starting with the moon landing. The Apollo 11 mission, July 20th, 1969. The story, Jones wrote the outline today, and he should do this more often. He's really good at it.
I have found my place in life. Finally.
Yep. Okay, the story. Manned mission lands on the moon. I'm sorry. Manned mission lands on moon. Astronauts return home safely. Way to go, USA! Of course, the theories behind this, or the conspiracy theories, as it were, which is a movie I've never seen.
It's not bad.
Yeah, it's a Richard Donner joint, right?
Yeah, it's got Mel.
Of course.
Good times. Yeah, I guess him and Donner, it's...
Yeah.
The big
Lethal
combo.
Weapon 5. Or not. Lethal, although they'll probably reboot.
Yeah,
the
when are they
going
to make another one of those? That's a whole other topic, though.
Yeah, okay. So, of course, some people believe that it never happened and was faked on a Hollywood soundstage. Others believe they did land on the moon and discovered alien artifacts and technology, but covered up the images shown on Earth to prevent other nations from benefiting from the knowledge. And the other theory is that we went up there, grabbed some rocks, and came back, I suppose.
Yeah.
Hmm.
There's some that theorize, you know, that we kind of went halfway, like, you know, that the flight into space happened, but then for whatever reason, you know, we couldn't actually land on the moon, but they just, you know, made up the footage and then dropped the, you know, module back into the ocean and all that and filmed that, and, you know, to help tie it all together. And
well, isn't part of the they spent so much money on the Apollo missions and they allegedly couldn't land on the moon, so they had to fake it to justify the expense?
Yeah.
Isn't that what they say also? So yeah. What about this whole, it was a distraction from the Vietnam War thing? How do you take that?
Yeah,
it's like the only reason they did it.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's like, yeah, there's a lot of other ways you could distract people from the Vietnam than that.
You could send them a bunch of $600 yeah, checks.
Exactly. It would have been like, what, $50 back then? But, you know, whatever. But, yeah.
What are you going to do with your check?
Probably just hang on to it for a while.
Yeah, I'll just put it in the bank.
Yeah.
Well, I had to pay. Well, I always had to pay, but.
Yeah.
So I'd like some of it back.
So it's kind of like a refund on here.
Yes! That'd be the first tax refund I've gotten in years. Okay, I'm sorry.
I mean, I could buy the theory that it was more pointed at the Cold War. You know, I mean, that was the main reason for the space program anyway. It was because of the Cold War, because Russia,
oh,
of course,
yeah, especially
was pursuing
after they got
it.
Sputnik up there, and the first man in space.
Yeah. And so I could buy it more like we did it just to get a symbolic victory, but...
Well, who got the most German rocket scientists after World War II, us or Russia, or is it pretty equal?
I don't know. I thought we got quite a few of them.
Because they basically had like a general auction after World War II, right?
Yeah. Like, here you go, you know, Friedrich Mainz or something. Highest bidder.
Rockethausen.
USA bids $1,500. Sold. All right.
I go to America.
I don't have to go to Brazil.
Oh, God. So once again, we're trying to piss off as many people as possible. What? I'm surprised I still get TV appearances.
Oh, I have nothing against Brazil.
I know, it's just funny.
But it is. It's like
Auctioning off from German rocket scientists. Hey, they were good.
Yeah, pretty much.
I guess we must have had the most because we went to the moon.
Well, that's how we got to make nukes, was we brought all the German scientists over for that, too.
I mean, even
for
the,
like, the Manhattan
war.
Project and stuff. That's how a lot of that happened, so. But
yeah, I agree. It was probably more about the Cold War than the Vietnam War. Yeah. Cause...
But I don't agree that we faked it. My belief is that we did it for real.
Oh, I agree.
And I don't buy a bunch of this shit. It's like, because my whole thing is, it's like, okay, we can throw all sorts of, you know, satellites up in space. We can split the damn atom. You know, we split the atom like 30 years before this, damn near.
We can land rovers on Mars.
Yeah, we can do all this shit. Why wouldn't we be able to throw a man up on the moon and get him back?
Yeah, look at something like, I know it's more recent, but was it Titan? The moon they dropped that thing onto?
Yeah.
I mean, that's freaking long, long, long ways away. The moon is only 250,000 miles away.
Yeah. Well, and even like the Galileo space probe, they shot that thing up back in the 70s, and that went out like past Jupiter and Saturn, and it had all this very complex navigation to it where they utilized like the gravity of the different planets to slingshot it out past the outer planets. That thing...
You're talking about Galileo or Voyager?
Oh, Voyager, sorry. I got it confused. But yes, Voyager. And that thing was still transmitting as of... It's probably been 5 years ago last I heard, and I think they finally made it where they're just going to stop receiving signals from it. But that thing was still functioning. It's like out past Pluto, out in like the Kuiper Belt and shit.
Yeah, it might actually get into interstellar space by 2020, and it may still have enough energy in its isotope nuclear breakdown generators or whatever they're called to still, it might still
be
operating.
Transmit, yeah. Well, and in the early 70s also there was like the Viking program where they landed a spacecraft on Mars and it took pictures and everything. I mean, was that faked too? You know, it's like just a few years after the moon landing, we're able to launch
something
out into space, have it land on a planet that's way the fuck farther away than the moon, and have it return images and everything from the surface.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like,
it couldn't move around, it just kind of sat there, but it didn't.
Yeah.
And look at those rovers they landed there now. Those things are awesome.
Yeah,
They're still working,
yeah.
See, I love that kind of shit. I love it when we make like a robot or some sort of object and we send it out into space and it just keeps working, like Voyager or Spirit and Opportunity. I think it's kind of a very good... Things like that really show the potential of the human race or engineering.
Yeah. And there are some things that I put like in the debunk section there for the theories, and like one of them is that these, like, what is it? Yeah, these retro reflector arrays that were left on the moon by the Apollo 11, 14, and 15 missions... this is one of the ways that it helps discredit the conspiracy theorists that say that the moon landings didn't occur, because today anybody on Earth with an appropriate laser and telescope system can bounce laser beams off of these devices, which verifies that they were deployed.
Is that so they can test the distance of the moon from Earth?
I think so.
Hmm.
Probably amongst other experiments, but...
Yeah, and I'm sure if you had a good enough telescope, I'm sure you could probably see the stuff we left there or not.
To a certain extent. I mean, you can't see stuff like the flag, you know, they got left there, because that's, like, way too small.
Well, remember in Superman 2, where they were on the moon, and then Zod and his guys came down and, like, smashed everything?
Yeah, those bastards.
That was awesome. That's a good movie.
Well, then, like, it was probably a month or so ago, but when I was reading up on, like, alien stuff or whatever for our potential movie project, there was something in there where, I think it was Neil Armstrong, it was either him or Buzz Aldrin, but he had claimed, like, in multiple interviews to have encountered aliens when they landed on the moon.
See, I would believe that.
And I could believe that more than believing that the moon landing didn't even happen.
Right. I mean, maybe, isn't the going theory that the reason we haven't gone back is partially because of that? Like, what they said, we were looking over our shoulders the whole time, and we were scared out of our wits and stuff.
Yeah, and there's a lot of stuff that, like, was transmitted that didn't get through to the broadcast, like,
but ham radio operators could pick it up.
Yeah.
Like, Houston, there is a Santa Claus, I guess, is their code for UFOs even still today.
Yeah.
Well, because there's allegedly an alien base on the far side of the moon.
Well, of course.
Well, I know it's... we probably just destroyed all our credibility by saying we believe we landed on the moon, but we also think it's possible that aliens are up there, but...
Well, so, aliens, to me, again, are kind of like your thing with the... You know, the most obvious answer is probably the right one. And, like, to me... My whole thing is, it's like, you know, we're one planet in this one little solar system in this one galaxy, which there's, like, you know, millions, maybe even billions of galaxies in the universe. I'm like, you gotta be pretty...
Arrogant?
Short-sighted and arrogant to think that there aren't other beings out there somewhere.
And I will interject right here that I don't necessarily even think that belief in extraterrestrials even really necessarily contradicts... religious belief. There's absolutely no reason it would have to, which I think sometimes hangs up people.
Yeah.
But even in the Bible, it says, like, God and all this is talked about in the plural, and there's giants in the earth and all this stuff. I mean, that could very easily be interpreted to, if you want to go that way.
So I have no problem believing that aliens are out there somewhere.
Right.
So.
Well, also the expense of the moon mission, probably. Well, then again, I mean, these probes that they send out, they're really frickin' expensive.
Yeah.
They're usually
billions and billions of dollars.
So, and what's this new thing now? They want to get the helium-3 isotopes off the moon. Have you heard about that?
I haven't heard anything about that.
I saw a program about that once.
I've heard stuff about mining, like,
right,
minerals,
which is why they say we
want to
go back. You know, they had George Bush say that, and the Chinese... Oh, it's something like this stuff flows... I don't know. It's called H3 or Helium 3 or... Is it helium? Or, I think it's helium for some reason. Whatever the atomic symbol is. I'm not an atomic symbolologist like Tom Hanks in that one movie. But it was something like... You could take. I think there's actually someone in the University of Wisconsin figured this out. If you took the stuff that's on the moon, you could use it as a fuel source. And some astronaut or scientist said, if there are gold bricks laying on the surface of the moon, it wouldn't be worth it to go up and get them because the mission would cost more than they're
so
worth.
Much, yeah.
But this stuff would be.
Hmm.
And maybe that's why they want to go up and strip mine the moon.
So, you know, who has rights to the moon? Do we have rights to it since we landed on it first?
You'd think, but the Chinese are going up there in 8 years. Oh, well, it'll just be part of World War III when it happens.
Yeah, good old mineral rights.
Moon colonies on the moon. But the moon isn't that big. I mean, it's big, but...
Yeah, it's...
Well, you know, the photographs, how the depth of field or the distance isn't that great? And that's, you know, because it's faked.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the fact that the moon has, like, one-tenth the diameter of Earth.
Yeah, there's all sorts of funky stuff like that, but... that people come up with. It's interesting because there's all these people that come up with these, you know, pretty involved theories and stuff, but then there's some people out there where basically their career or whatever is to debunk these theories and all that, and it's kind of interesting to get into that stuff and check it out, so.
Hmm.
Yeah, for my money, it happened, and it'll happen again someday when we decide it's in our interest
there's
to go
really
back
no reason
up there.
We couldn't go to Mars either. It's only like 6 months away.
Yeah, it's not a super long trip. And what was it? It'd be like a little over 2 years altogether because you have to wait for the orbits to line up right, like once you get to Mars.
Yeah,
to be
the
able
orbits
to get back.
aren't concentric, so there'd be...
Yeah, but I mean, that's not a ridiculously long mission. I mean, shit, one of the cosmonauts stayed on the International Space Station for like a year, I think, or something like that.
People were
so,
in Mir a long time, too.
Yeah.
I think the main thing is... the resources, like food and water and whatnot, since shipping anything via spaceship is something ridiculous, like $250,000 a pound, or maybe it's not that much. It's a lot.
Yeah.
So basically the human resources that you would need and the capacity to store them is actually one of the largest problems. And once you got there, you basically have to mine shit off Mars and produce your own rocket fuel to get back.
Yeah.
Because I mean, obviously you'd have to escape Mars gravity, and then
somehow which at
get
least
back
it doesn't
Earth.
It doesn't have nearly the gravity that Earth does, at least, so that would help a bit there anyway. So
that's true.
But and I mean, there's a lot of stuff that they're working on already, you know, with being able to have like, you know, something like a garden, you know, on a spaceship where you can grow, you know, your vegetables and fruit and things like that in a contained environment like that.
We should have like a space episode, because I always like space.
Yeah, space is awesome.
Okay, well, hey, let's close off the moon landing with one more thing.
All right.
And that is, you know, people are like, well, you know, we could do it 30 years ago, but we can't do it now or something.
Yeah.
Right, well, they built pyramids, like, what, 3,000 years ago, and they're still difficult to do?
Yeah.
Just because someone did it before you, that doesn't automatically make them stupider than you.
Yeah, I can't even imagine how expensive it would be to build like something like the Great Pyramid today.
It'd be
I mean,
nuts.
Just think about how ridiculously expensive that would be. Because you would actually have to pay your laborers, unlike back in those times where...
No, they I think they paid them. I mean,
yeah,
some of them.
Some, maybe, but most of them, I think, were just...
Well, you know, after Moses kicked a bunch of ass, you know, Pharaoh's like, oh, Christ... Now I gotta go to like the local 101st Pyramid Builders Union and see if I can get some sort of deal going.
Maybe if I sign a contract with them for 3 pyramids, I can get a deal.
Oh, we should have an Egypt episode too.
Yeah!
Egypt and space are awesome.
They're like the two coolest things ever.
Yeah, see, I never knew you liked that kind of stuff because we always talk about these goddamn video games on this podcast.
Yeah. Oh, I've always loved ancient Egypt. Like, Cairo is the one place on Earth I have to go to at some point before I die.
You know, it's not that difficult. You could just go there.
I know, but it'll be the right time when it happens, but that will be cool.
Yes.
And I will go there, and then I will go into space someday, even if it's my ashes.
Yeah, I want to do that too. Seriously. I think it's
possible.
That
would be so awesome.
Oh yeah, space is awesome. Okay, so let's move on to the JFK assassination.
Yes!
So, a few years before the moon landing, JFK, the president, was assassinated. And now, many of you have probably seen the pretty good movie called, get this, JFK.
Yes.
Directed by Oliver Stone, in which he was assassinated by Gary Oldman.
Yes. Who should play John Wilkes Booth if and when Spielberg ever makes his Lincoln movie.
Because he just kills presidents left and right.
Yeah.
John Wilkes
or Booth. Tries to, anyway, like in Air Force One, so...
That's true!
Yeah.
Okay, so the lone gunman, Lee Harvey Oswald, shoots JFK from a window in the Texas School Book Depository.
Yeah, that's the story, so...
Alright, so here are the theories. Most believe that, at the very least, Oswald did not act alone. This was even the finding of a special investigation lasting from 1976 to 1979 by the House Select Committee on Assassinations.
Yep, they pretty much came up with, you know, Oswald probably did the killing, but more than likely he was part of a conspiracy of some sort, so it wasn't just him acting alone.
Well, again, do you think it's one of those things where people want to believe there's more to it than there really is?
Yeah.
I mean, like we talked about with Pearl Harbor and 9/11.
Yeah. Yeah, me with the JFK, well, we'll get through the other theories, and I guess we'll mine our opinions a bit more.
Right.
But, like, what do we got? We got, oh, then there's
Fidel Castro.
Some of the theories, yeah, involve Castro, Lyndon Johnson, Mafia, even, and the Soviets. And,
the Bay of Pigs, that involved.
Just a year before. It was, like, September or October of 62.
That couldn't have thrilled Castro very much. And didn't the CIA or someone try to kill Castro with a box of exploding cigars around that same time?
Yep, because the CIA had attempted to kill him, and the Soviets wouldn't have been too happy about the whole Bay of Pigs thing either, because it kind of...
Oh, involved their missiles.
Yep, and it kind of... You know, there's the whole standoff with the ships in the ocean and all that, and then eventually they, you know, negotiated out of it, but it, you know, kind of... was a little bit of a slap in the face to the Soviets, I think, you know, back home, because, you know, we stood up to them and they backed down was kind of how it was viewed back home, I think. And
then the theory put forth by the movie JFK, I mean, you talk about how Oswald wasn't even involved, but basically the theory in JFK was that JFK didn't want to enter the Vietnam War, and the war machine, quote-unquote, did.
Yeah. Yep, which is another theory where basically he was, you know, killed from inside, basically.
Well, I mean, if you look at America, I mean, America was in a depression. We weren't even a superpower. Then after World War II, things were all roses.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, ever since, really, that's been kind of the mentality.
That's been the thing, getting a war and, yep.
Because, you know, you get to build a lot of tanks and guns and...
bullets and...
Yep, that's... That's what America exports.
Big money.
And,
yep.
I'm not trying to be unpatriotic by saying that, but it's true.
Yeah, so like I have a motives section here that I jotted out. And so for Lyndon Johnson, his motive was that it was rumored that Kennedy actually wasn't going to keep him as a vice president when he ran for re-election in 64. Like,
wow,
that he was gonna...
does that ever even happen?
I don't think it had... Well, actually, it might have back in, like, the 1800s at some point, if I remember right. I read through a whole book on the presidents a while ago, and that may have occurred previously, but... So, basically, when Kennedy was going to run for re-election in 64, Johnson wouldn't get to go along for the ride. So, that could have been some of his motivation for taking him out or whatever. And then the Mafia... it was kind of retaliation for Attorney General Robert Kennedy, who was JFK's brother, because he was putting a lot of pressure on the Mafia back in those days compared to, like, Eisenhower's administration and any time in before that, so...
And then he ended up dying, too.
Yeah, like in 68 or... I think it was 68, because he was actually running for the nomination... for the Democratic seat for going for the presidency.
Maybe someone just hit something really against the Kennedys.
Yeah.
Of course, there's still some left.
They let Ted live, but he's about the only one.
What about Maria Shriver?
Well, you know, she's got Arnold to protect her, so... But,
you tried to kill her. I'll pay for your goddamn spine! Wow, every podcast we have the same shit. We have Arnold impersonations, we were part of the Nintendo Wii.
Yes.
I make some sort of ecological, economic, political statement regarding energy.
Yes.
I'm sorry. And you also have Castro.
And Castro is on there because there had been multiple assassination attempts against him by the CIA, so of course he would like to retaliate. And then the Soviets...
He's dead now, though.
Or is he?
He's dead.
But then for the Soviets, well, it was the height of the Cold War and just a year after the Cuban Missile Crisis, so...
Yeah, I don't know if I'd buy that one.
It's possible. And some of the stuff I read online, you know, it was interesting how many different people have actually taken credit for the Kennedy assassination, like on their deathbeds and things like that.
Well, this big conspiracy, so...
Yeah, but I mean, there's quite a few people. One of the people, what was it? Because there's like the three tramps. Like, for people that have seen JFK, it's probably familiar to them. There's like the three guys that were like dressed up as hobos who hopped the trains and stuff. That were kind of cited. Apparently one of those guys is theorized to be like Woody Harrelson's dad, who's dead now.
You mean in real life?
Yeah, like his real
life. Oh, wasn't he
dad.
Like a criminal?
Yeah, I think so. And then there were a couple other guys that had been involved in like the Bay of Pigs and stuff that are theorized to be the other couple of tramps or whatever, and so it's...
But
there's
so
a lot
they were
of,
actually operatives?
Yeah. So
wasn't old Jack Valenti? He was on the plane when Lyndon B. Johnson was sworn in, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he was, yeah. That bastard. But, yeah,
also
so there's
dead.
There's a lot of interesting theories around this, and there's a lot of people that, you know, had reason to see Kennedy dead, I guess, is the way to look at it. And like me, I believe that there was a conspiracy to kill him. I don't exactly know who, obviously, because I guess nobody really does.
Aren't they going to release those findings? In
supposedly,
the next 10
pretty
years
soon,
or
I think.
That is?
Yeah, because everybody will be dead that could have been involved, basically. And
the blood will all be washed off.
Because my thing is, like, they, you know, they took the gun that Oswald had, and they had like
it was a
piece of crap, and it was like they had, you know, the top sharpshooters in the military. And the best they could do was, like, pop off three shots with this thing and, like...
Because it was like a bolt-action rifle, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. And it was, like, 8 or 9 seconds, I think. And the thing with this is, Oswald, from where he supposedly shot Kennedy from, he was shooting through dense foliage in the trees and shit.
I mean,
and he was shooting at a moving target, no less.
You'd probably only get, like, one shot, maybe. Especially
like
a bolt-action gun.
One good shot, for sure, yeah, and... So it's like, and then there's the whole magic bullet theory, which was in the Warren Commission, which the Warren Commission came shortly after Kennedy's death, because there was...
There's one bullet that somehow created, like, what, 8 wounds, and...
Yeah, like...
Entered and exited 3 times.
Yeah,
and was completely intact when they found it.
Yeah, because it, like... Yeah, they found... Then they magically found the bullet laying on the... I think it was the governor of Texas was in the front seat. It was laying on his stretcher, like it just got found on the stretcher that he was on in the hospital later on. And basically they call that the pristine bullet, because it was basically a perfectly fine bullet, but apparently in the governor they found pieces of the bullet. And so they're like, well, that doesn't really match up with what is left of this bullet or whatever. And but yeah, if you watch...
And let me guess, the bullet that was on the stretcher matched the ballistics of Oswald's gun.
I believe so, yeah. But then, because, like, the magic bullet, it, like, went through, like, Kennedy's back, I can't remember if it went through part of him, but yeah, then it went, like,
and it broke
through
broke
the
bones.
Seat. Yeah, it went through the seat, hit the governor somewhere, then somehow turned... And went down, like, into his wrist and shattered his wrist or something like that, and it's just, like...
Ended up in his leg, allegedly, didn't it?
I think, yeah. It's, like, if you watch the movie JFK, they actually, you know, they have a very good diagram where they have the people sitting there and you actually see the
path of it. For you younger listeners, if you haven't seen the movie JFK, it's worth renting. It's very interesting.
Yeah, it's an excellent movie, but, yeah, there's just way too much about it that you know, it's very difficult to fathom that this one dude could have done it. And Oswald never admitted it. You know, he was only alive for like 2 days after they caught him, and then Ruby shot him, which was under kind of mysterious circumstances, again, that he was able to, you know, get into that parking garage and shoot him.
First rule of assassination, kill the assassin.
Yeah.
Creed.
Because all he said was, I'm a patsy, and he never admitted any involvement in the assassination at all. You know, and you'd think if he got caught, wouldn't he have started throwing people under the bus or something like that?
Well, he didn't even have a chance to.
Yeah, so it's hard to say. It's a very interesting
Wasn't Jack Ruby like a low-level mobster guy?
Yeah, yeah. Like, he owned some strip club or something and all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But
something History Channel once. And not only did he shoot him, he shot him on television.
Yeah, yeah, just to make it really good, so...
Yeah.
I always wonder what it would have been like to, like, live through that time. That had to just be freaking weird.
Well, lots of stuff. I mean, you had that, Vietnam War, Woodstock, the moon landing. Of course, you know, people might say that about the time we live in. Oh, you know, 9/11.
Yeah, 9/11, I suppose.
All this jazz. I mean, I'll never forget 9/11 morning.
Oh, yeah. But it's just, you know, interesting, because it's like, you know, 1 year before, you had the Bay of Pigs, the Bay of Pigs was actually further back.
The Cuban
Missile Crisis was like a year before. But then a year after that, you know, Kennedy gets killed, and then a couple days after that, you see the guy who supposedly killed Kennedy get shot on TV. You know, it's like freaking
Robert
crazy
Kennedy.
Times. Yeah, then yeah, Robert got killed like 5 years later, and
yeah, I guess that must have been a crazy decade.
And Martin Luther King got killed.
Oh,
like,
damn!
I think
right,
he was just like a couple of weeks before Robert Kennedy got killed, I believe.
Well, I mean, you know, also it was kind of a unstable time of change too. So
yeah.
Maybe that's why so many people got killed, because so much shit was going on.
Yeah, yeah, actually had all the civil rights stuff going on back in those days.
It's kind of a volatile
lot of stuff
period.
Going on, so.
What if, and then, you know, when all the aliens killed, you know, all the astronauts, and they were replaced by clones. See, I'm tying the conspiracies together.
Yes. It is always interesting to think about, you know, like, what would have happened to the world if, you know, certain things wouldn't have happened, and it's like, you know, what would have happened if Kennedy didn't die that day, and what if he continued to be president, and, you know, all that, how things might be different today, you know,
it's... You still have the whole civil rights movement, it still happened.
Yeah, I mean, you had that, but, you know, let's say he wanted to get out of Vietnam right away, you know,
we were hardly in it at that point.
Yeah, we were in it enough at that point.
Not as much as we were, though,
no,
later on.
I mean, we really went hardcore at that point, but he was going to pull everybody out, and, you know, theoretically, if that happened, you know, how would that have altered things? And
well, nothing. I mean, Vietnam, it's not a big deal now. I mean,
no, but I mean,
it's not like
know,
it's North Korea or something.
It was like
just a
10 years
island.
Of our, you know, 10 years of our military's time and soldiers' lives and resources that were expended and everything else, and who knows what other social changes might have happened, you know, while he was in office, because he was only in office like a, you know, what, 2.5 years?
I guess.
Or something like that, you know, and look at all the shit he had to deal with. You know, he was staring down the Soviets and screwing around with Cuba and doing all...
And Marilyn Monroe,
of course. And, but, yeah, it's just kind of interesting, you know, to think about that stuff. Because kind of like you said the other day, you know, Lincoln, because we were kind of talking about different conspiracy theory stuff, you know, and whatever, and, like, Lincoln, he got to do his big thing. You know, like, the
right.
Civil War happened, you know, the slaves got freed and everything, and all that, where, like, Kennedy was kind of working towards his big thing, you know.
Of course, you know, a whole different political atmosphere in America, you know?
Yeah.
We were kind of a little scrappy country back in the Civil War days.
Yeah. Who knows, he would have had glasnost, like, 20 years earlier if it would have, then if Kennedy could have lived, who knows, so...
Well, then, of course, we'll never know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what would have happened if we didn't enter World War II,
yeah,
for instance?
Exactly, so... Interesting shit to just think about from time to time.
Yes. I don't really think about that with history. I think about it in my own life.
Yeah.
Selfishly.
And I've always been a big history buff. It's always fun to get into that stuff.
Yeah, but like the what ifs are kind of irrelevant because they didn't happen.
Yeah, but it's just interesting, you know, conjecture, I guess, to look at that stuff. Because it kind of helps you look at the moment. Because if you can look at what happened and perhaps what didn't happen, with that as, like, your focal point, you know, you can look back to when he was killed and then look ahead, okay, what happened over, like, the next decade and the next 20 years after he died? Who benefited from that? You know, if you do take the stance that, you know, it wasn't just some crazy kook with a gun that took him out, which I think most people believe, actually.
At least suspect.
Yeah, I mean, there's polls, actually, where it's like 70% of people don't really buy the Warren Commission's findings, and, you know, and so it's like, well, who benefited? You know, and you can look at it that way, and look back at that time is kind of the trigger point, obviously.
Okay. Oh, and then my stance is, I guess, yeah, with everything that was going on, I think it's very easy to believe that there was a conspiracy.
Yeah.
I don't know if it necessarily had a lot. I would say it probably had more to do with what was going on at that time, like you talked about. Like
the Cuba stuff.
Cuba, yeah. The Soviets, Castro, the mob. Probably more so than Vietnam.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Vietnam wouldn't have escalated with him as president. Maybe it would have. I mean.
Yeah, you never know.
So, okay. all right. Well, we have one more conspiracy theory. We have to wrap up here. This one's really not as important or world-changing.
Yeah.
But it's the John Madden video game cover curse.
Yes. Which probably most people who play video games are more than likely familiar with this. I guess it's, yeah, the story or whatever is, what is it there? It's
a myth concerning the John Madden, blah, 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 blah. So if you're on the cover of the John Madden game, your career will go to shit. Unless you're Brett Favre and you've retired.
Yes. Maybe he won't bag a deer this year because he's on the cover.
He'll be like, no!
He'll be, why did I take those millions of dollars? What was I thinking?
Okay, so the theories / evidence. Okay, Jones wrote this down, so I'll just read what he wrote. Eddie George, in 2001, is the first cursed player, or considered to be, a career year prior to being on the cover. However, after that, he posted career lows in yardage and touchdowns due to a toe injury. He never regained his pre-Madden cover form.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah, because there were a couple of cover athletes before him. I think it was like Garrison Hurst was on like the European version of Madden 99, and then Madden 2000 had Dorsey Levens, and both those guys had decent years here and there, but they weren't really like upper tier players, I wouldn't say. You know, they were the type of guys where they kind of didn't do much for a while, then had a couple of good years, managed to snag a cover. And then they went back into obscurity again, where, like, Eddie George, he was actually a pretty damn good running back for pretty much all of his career up to this point. And
okay.
So that's why it kind of works out that he's truly the first cursed one.
Okay, and then you have the Minnesota Vikings star quarterback Dante.
Oh, yeah, Culpepper? Dante Culpepper, yeah. Yeah,
he was in 2002.
Yeah, because he had like a really big year the year before. It was, you know, like 4,000 some yards, 30 touchdowns or something. Really did well, and then,
oh my God, 13 interceptions, only 14 touchdown passes.
Yeah, and then I think he wound up getting like injured at some point, didn't he?
Back injury, injured in his 11th game.
So. Yeah, so he only played, you know, like 10 and a half games that year, and had pretty shitty stats. So.
Okay.
And he's pretty much gone into the abyss now too, like. Getting bounced around the league as a backup quarterback, so.
That's too bad. This one's kind of funny. 5 days after Madden NFL 2004, Michael Vick was on the cover.
Mr. Dogfighting.
And he broke his right fibula, only played in the last 5 regular season games, did really shitty, and then, of course, nowadays he's doing even worse.
Yeah, now he's in jail for like 2 years or something for the dogfighting thing, so.
Animal Cops Houston.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's 3 straight years now of people having a rough go of it.
Well, even though the dog thing is its own fault, I guess we could throw that in, so...
Yeah.
Michael Vick really got screwed. Okay, Madden 2005, Ray Lewis, first defensive player, okay, on the cover.
Yeah.
Not the first defensive player ever. George Clooney's Leatherheads.
Oh, yeah, that movie.
Starring that guy from The Office.
Yes, Jim.
Yeah, Spamster. Okay, Spam and Pam and Hamster. Okay, so this guy, what did he do afterwards?
Yeah, he's actually probably one of the better cases. Like, what was it that happened to him? Like, the year before, he had 6 interceptions, and then the season he was on the cover, he didn't have any interceptions, which was, like, the first time.
So he didn't play against Brett Favre that year?
Yeah, I don't think so. Brett's always good for one or two. But he still had a decent year. I mean, he had 147 tackles in 15 games. But then he broke his arm in week 15, missed the last game. And then the team missed the playoffs after winning the division the year before.
Mm.
He's actually probably about the least cursed guy in there because he's still a pretty damn good player even today. So he managed to bounce back from it unscathed.
Okay. All right, now we have quarterback Donovan McNabb, who was on 06. Led the Philadelphia Eagles to the Super Bowl the 13-3 regular season. He ended 2004 throwing just shy of 4,000 yards and throwing 31 passes. Okay, well, that sounds pretty good. Okay, what happened? Okay, during the 2005-2006 season, when he was on the Madden cover, he suffered a sports hernia but decided to play anyway.
Yeah, he had a pretty bad year, and to top it off, I think he was my fantasy football QB that year, which really sucked.
Oh, no, you must not have known about the curse. Okay, so then they were playing against the Dallas Cowboys, and he was knocked down after an interception, and his injury got worse.
Yeah, and that was like in the 10th or 11th game of the year, I think.
Right, in the same year, he also lost his wide receivers.
Yeah.
Not that bad. That's not really personal.
But, that was pretty much a lost year all the way, because he was just, like, injured pretty much the whole year, and then he finally got knocked
out.
Well,
so was Michael Vick, it looks like.
Yeah.
So this has now become BenHeck.com ESPN5. All right, so I think we have one more here. Seahawks running back Sean Alexander, who was on the cover of Madden NFL 07, had one of the best statistical seasons ever the season before and did a bunch of cool crap. I don't get into numbers, although I did watch the Super Bowl. Okay, so then he broke his foot or something after
He
was on the cover?
Yeah, he was on my team that year, too, so maybe I'm the curse, too. Maybe I have some contributing factor there.
Yeah, and he's now been released from the Seahawks.
Yeah, because last year he didn't do good at all, and he was kind of dinged up last year again and not so hot, so...
Well, that's several years in a row.
Yeah, it's like there's, you know, probably a little something to it, but, you know, another thing is a lot of these guys, from what I was looking at, a lot of them are players that were a bit later on in their careers also when they made it on the cover, so they're probably a little more prone to getting injured or, you know, just having an off year, whatever. But it's interesting to look at, though, because obviously there's a little something there. You know, maybe there's some psychological shit with it now since it's been around for a while. But
well, here's something. I mean, do you think there could actually be an actual curse? I mean, you were like
what, somebody could put a curse on this Pringles can? And
yeah,
there's
the mummy there. It's like Imhotep's priest put a curse on John Madden and...
I don't know.
I guess, do you believe in that sort of thing?
Do I believe in curses?
Of course, you know what I'm going to talk about after this.
It's, I don't really feel one way or the other about them. I would probably, given the right circumstances, I could believe in something being cursed, I would think.
Okay. Now, here's the part where I, tell the world that I believe I have a cursed shirt. But I keep track of the cursed shirt statistics, and like the Madden stuff, It seems more often than not, something not good happens when I wear the cursed shirt. However, some good things have happened while I'm wearing it. So maybe it's just I just choose to have that perception.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Although I don't wear it sometimes specifically because I'm like, should I wear this?
Yeah.
Or I don't want something bad to happen when I do such and such thing. But then, because I was being so superstitious, which was one of my New Year's resolutions, was to be less superstitious, but I crossed it off because I can't. I actually wore it on an airplane once.
Oh, wow.
Yeah?
Oh, I think I know which time that was, too.
But then, my other thing about that. I went out, and I was like, it was like for a possible commission, and I wore the cursed shirt on an airplane.
Yeah.
And I didn't die in a fiery wreck, but I didn't get the commission. So I thought that was the cursed shirt's way of, like, sort of hurting me. But I did not actually put that in the official count.
Yeah, maybe the cursed shirt won't kill you or
it's
bring
a nice shirt.
Death, but it can just, you know.
Right, so it's like, I cannot risk myself.
Yeah, you know, there
like,
you go.
Obviously, it's self-aware. It's like I'll do the next best thing. So, but it's a nice shirt. I just, So I'm just saying, I choose to have some sort of irrational belief in it being cursed.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of my superstitions are completely irrational, but I think that one is a little irrational.
Yeah. Well, and I think like with the Madden curse, you know, it's like you were kind of talking about earlier where, you know, people need to look for some sort of explanation for things where it's like, you know what? Maybe it was just that Eddie George was getting old, had this toe injury, had a bad year, and then he got, you know, cut from the team, or maybe there was just a younger player coming up, and the younger player got more playing time the next year, and that's how it went. And same thing with these other guys. You know, maybe they were getting older and got injured, and, you know, shit happens, and it doesn't have anything to do with being on the Madden cover, but people like to look for a bigger reason for things than...
And no matter how bad the curse is, who's going to turn down the chance to be on the cover of Madden?
Yeah. I'm sure it pays all right, so... Plus, you get all that publicity from it, so... Yeah, I believe I put on there for the debunked part, professional athletes get injured and have bad years all the time.
Yep.
Some just happen to be on the cover of Madden when it happens, so...
That's a good point.
This is one I don't really choose to believe.
So, I mean, really, what's more likely, that you're going to be perfectly fine all year? I mean, that would be more of a... That would be more unusual than always getting hurt if you're on the cover, if you think about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at somebody like Brett Favre, for instance. He got injured a shitload of times in his career, but he was just, you know, tough guy, or maybe he was a little crazy at times and he kept playing, you know, even though he got these injuries that other players would have sat out for. And,
right, my point is...
And he had shitty years sometimes, too.
Right, my point is, it'd almost be more unusual to have nothing happen to you at all.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think... Yeah, it's interesting, but I can't really get behind that one.
Yeah. I won't put a lot of stock in that one, because then why would it be that it would only impact the Madden players? Why wouldn't it impact like the player that's on the NHL cover and the NBA whatever cover? Maybe it does. I guess I didn't do any research.
I'm sure someone has looked for patterns there. Well, that's a big part of it. Like, people look for pattern recognition so much.
Yeah.
And that's a good form of it. Like, oh, this and this. It happens in football stats, too. It's like, well, the Packers have never lost a home game while it's snowing.
When it's
blah, 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 blah.
20 degrees or colder December.
Then every time they say something like that, they end up losing the game. But next year, all they're going to do is change one variable and, like, create a whole new pattern they can believe in.
Yeah, they'll make it 15 degrees because it was 18 that day.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, for anyone who cares, if you look back at the Midwest Gaming Classic photo where we're looking at the bottle of Leet sauce, I'm wearing the cursed shirt in that photograph.
Oh, yes. And that was a day when something good happened.
Yeah, that was a good day.
Yeah, so...
But I'm not making this up. I had to leave that convention pretty quickly because my sister was getting married that night. I actually changed shirts. I'm honest to God, I put on a crappier sweater that I had with me so I would not be wearing my cursed shirt at her wedding. I'm not making that up. I did. I consciously did that. So, yes, I'm very superstitious. I didn't used to be. Computers did it to me.
Yeah.
Is it that unusual? I mean, it's like, okay, I can't get this, let's say, LCD screen to work. The best way to get it to work is to buy a new one. Then the old one will start working.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sure everybody does this. I gotta go do something, and I might need this tool. So I'll take the tool with me, therefore I won't need it.
Yep.
Whereas if I don't take it, then I will need it. I mean, I think people do that all the time. I don't think it's that strange.
Well, it's just like when you work on a computer or even like with your projects and stuff, you never close it back up completely or never screw it all back together before you test it. Because if you do all that, you know, 99% chance the damn thing ain't going
to
work.
That happened to me just yesterday.
Yep. So it's... That was like the number one rule of thumb when I first got into IT. It's like when you go and, you know, replace some components on the computer, don't close it all back up till you plug it in and fire it up and make sure it's working. Cause
well, that reminds me, I still got to put more screws back in those things downstairs. Yes. Not the pedals, the guitars.
The so, what?
The guitars.
Oh, yeah, I heard something else there.
Oh.
The things.
The things. I'm just saying, yeah, they don't have all their screws back in for that exact same reason.
Yeah.
Well, and that it's easier to, you know, troubleshoot, but it's true.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think we've probably filled your heads with enough nonsense for one podcast. Yeah, I guess we'll talk to you all again in 2 weeks, and maybe we'll have some retrospect on Grand Theft Auto. And
maybe we'll get a hold of, like, those, you know, Kennedy assassination papers, and we'll get to the bottom of this.
We'll do it for our listeners. All right, well, we'll talk to you all later.
Awesome. Adios.